I can say without hesitation this morning that if this were the last time I could ever stand before you and talk, this would be the message I would bring you. If I knew tomorrow I was going to die, this would be the message I would bring you. I turned 50 last week, and I think about how long in ministry I have been and how much time maybe I have left. Have I been in ministry more days now than I will have to come? Do I have less time now to serve God than I did, previous to this? This is the most important message I can ever bring. So I want you to know that as you sit here this morning, you will not hear a more important message, a more important thought from God's word ever than what you're going to hear this morning. And I can say that without hesitation. And it's not because I am bringing it, it's because the topic, the subject that we're going to look at. In Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 21, we read what I have always said is the scariest verse I have ever read. Verse 21, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" So here's the first thought before we even get to our outline. Many who think they're going to heaven are not. Many who think they are going to heaven are not. I mean, look around at all the people that you see, especially on a Sunday morning or maybe a Saturday night, all the people that you see going to church somewhere, some kind of church. Look at all the people who say or who act very religious. Look at all the people, if you were to ask, in fact, they do surveys and they ask, "Are you going to heaven?" Do you know that most people say yes? And you know what? Most of them are wrong. Most of them are not going to heaven. There are going to be people that one day will stand before God and they will stand at the judgment. And standing at the judgment, they are going to say to God, "Lord, Lord." And God is going to look at them and say to them, "I don't know you, depart from me." Some of these people will claim to have driven out demons. Some of these people will claim to have served God. Could you imagine all the people that say, "Well, you know what, I went to church every Sunday." They're going to say, I gave to the poor. They're going to say, "I was nice to my neighbor. I did good deeds." They're going to say, "I was really religious." Or in our day and age, they're going to say, "You know what, I was spiritual." Isn't that the catchphrase anymore? I'm spiritual. They're going to stand before God, stand in heaven. Can you imagine? Stand in that place of judgment, maybe at the edge of heaven. And they're going to stand there, going to say, "Lord, we know you." And God's going to say, "I don't know you." Now, let me ask you this morning, and don't answer this out loud, but I want you to answer it silently. Do you think you're going to heaven? Do you think you're going to heaven? I want you to know that some of you who would answer that and say yes are wrong. You're wrong. There's a very good chance that someone sitting here this morning, maybe several people sitting here this morning, who would answer that question and say, "Yes, I am going to heaven," and in reality, they are not. Because that's exactly what this passage tells us. In fact, I want you to turn back a little bit further. Turn back with me to verse 13. Verse 13. Someone's already saying, "I hope he doesn't come near me." Verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. And here's what I want us to do. I want everybody here to say out loud the verses I skip. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the and is the road that leads to and many enter through it. Notice, broad is the gate, wide is the road that leads to destruction. Another way of saying hell. The road that leads to hell is wide. And many enter through it. Do you know that most people who have ever lived will not go to heaven? Most people who have ever lived will not go to heaven. And that's quite different than what you hear from most religious leaders. They all say, well, you know, we're all children of God. All religions go to heaven. We're all going to make it. No, the Bible says Jesus is the one saying this, saying, look, the road that leads to destruction, that road, many are going to go through it. Notice the next verse. But is the gate and the road that leads to and only a find it. Let that settle in your head and heart for a moment. The road that leads to life, the road that leads to heaven, it's narrow. And the reality is that only a few will find it. So I don't have any problem saying that most people who have ever lived will not go to heaven, they will go to hell. See, now wait a minute, God is a loving God. Yes, He is. Say, now, wait a minute, that's pretty narrow-minded. Yes, it is. But truth is narrow-minded. 1 + 1 always equals, never equals 10, 15, 26. So then a very important question, a question we all need to ask ourselves. The most important question we will ever ask ourselves. It's the question that is up here on the wall. What is salvation? If most people who think they're going to heaven are not, if most people who have ever lived really are going to go to destruction and not to life, then what really is salvation? What does it really mean to be saved, to be a Christian? Let me give you the simplest definition I can give you of what it means to be a Christian, of what salvation is. It's this. A Christian is a follower of Jesus. A Christian is a follower of Jesus. In fact, in Acts 11, verse 26, the very first time this word is ever used, it was not used by Christians. Very first time this word was ever used was not even used by Christians. It was used by a bunch of people in the city, and they saw Christians, and they looked at the Christians, and they said, they're Christians. Why'd they say that? Because they looked at Christians, and what the word literally means is a Christ follower. They look at their lives and they said they follow Jesus. So salvation, what it means to be a Christian is simply this. It means that you are a follower of Jesus. Now stop for a moment. Let me go back to what I just said. Most people who claim to be a follower of Jesus are not. Because if salvation means to be a follower of Jesus, the Bible says that most people who claim to know Jesus, to follow Jesus, Lord, Lord, he's going to look at them one day and say, I don't know you. So most people who claim to be a follower of Jesus really are not. Really are not a follower of Jesus. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? Let me give you just a little bit longer definition. Don't write anything down. Just listen to it. It is someone who has trusted in the gospel, where gospel means good news. It is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for our sin. Someone who has trusted in the gospel to save them from their sin, calling on God for salvation, and so has repented of their sin and begun to live for Jesus. So if you are a Christian, if you... salvation itself simply means that I have reached a point in my life where I believe that there's only one way to get to heaven. There's only one way to be saved. There's only one way to have a relationship with God. It is to believe with all my heart, so much that I'm willing to risk my life, so much that I'm willing to give up all effort, believing. That word is used over and over in the Bible, believe, 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 believing that when Jesus died, he died for me. He was then buried and then proved his power over death by rising from the dead. And in dying and being buried and rising from the dead, that when I place my belief in that, God turns to my life. And he marks me down as a child of his. It means that I believe with all my heart there's only one way to have a relationship with God. And it's not by being more religious. It's not by changing my life. It's not by going to church. It's not by giving in the offering. It's not by taking communion. It is by believing that Jesus died for my sin. He became my scapegoat. He took my punishment. He took my place. It's by believing what he did is the full payment, payment in full for my sin. In fact, when Jesus died on the cross, he shouted, Tetelestai. You know the word. It is finished. And what it means is they would write this word over the bills in those days, and what it meant was paid in full. When Jesus died on the cross, he paid for our sin, my sin, your sin. He paid in full. Some Christians believe Jesus only died for original sin, but he didn't die for the sin I commit every day, so I gotta somehow make payment for that sin. But I also believe Jesus is the Savior. No, you can't do that. Believing means that I believe Jesus, his act on the cross, is the sole payment for my sin. And in believing that, now listen real clear. In believing that, if I believe that Jesus died for my sin and he made full payment, then I also believe that I need to turn from that which he died for. If he died for my sin, I got to turn away from that which he died for. And I got to begin living for him. That's what salvation is. The biblical word that is used for that is the word repentance. That I repent of my sin, I turn away from my sin, I begin to live for God. Why? Because he died for me, and I believe that when I receive him, when I believe, when I trust in him, when I take him as my Savior, I become his child. And as his child, I need to live for him. A Christian is someone who has trusted in Christ as the sole means as of their salvation. Let me say it this way. You know, there's a lot of people that believe Jesus is the Savior. You know, you walk up to someone and you will say, do you believe Jesus is the Savior? And they will say yes, and you get all excited and say, you must be a Christian. No! It is not just in believing that he is the Savior, it is believing that he is my Savior, and that He is the sole means of salvation. Christian is someone who's reached out to God and called upon Him and asked Him to become their Savior. They called on God to save them from their sin. And they've placed their trust in what Jesus has done on the cross. If you have not done that, I want you to know this morning, you are part of the broad road. If you have not done that this morning, I want you to know you are entering through the wide gate. If you have not done that, then I want you to know there may be a day when you stand at the judgment seat and you look at God and you say, "Hey, God, I know you. I went to church. I went to Open Door. I gave in the offering. I served." But if you've never received Christ as your Savior, I want you to know God's going to look at you and say, "Depart from me. I don't know who you are." So if that's true, let's ask this question. Why do you need to become a Christian? That's the second question in our list. Why do you need to become a Christian? Let me try to answer that. Let me try to answer that question with three simple thoughts. How many of you have a job? Raise your hand. You have a job? All right. How many of you get paid on Fridays? Raise your hand. Okay. So that means all of you got paid this past Friday, or maybe the next Friday because you get paid every 2 weeks. If you came to Friday and your check wasn't in the mail, would you go to work on Monday? Well, you might go to work on Monday, but you might walk up to your boss and you might say, "No, you know what? I worked last week. I put in 40 hours, or I put in 50 hours, or I put in 60 hours. I was talking to Jeff Canavino the other day. He last week worked 37 and a half hours overtime. So he worked last week 77 and a half hours. Now, you can imagine if he went to his boss and he didn't have his check in the mail and said, "Where's my money?" If the boss said, "You know what, I decided I'm just not going to pay anyone anymore." What would you do? You would say, "Well, wait a minute, I deserve that money. I worked for you. I deserve it. You better give it to me or I'm going to call somebody to make sure I get that money. It's mine. I've earned it." Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin, what we've earned, what we deserve, is death. In the Bible, the word death is a little bit different than what we think of it. The word death in the Bible is a word that means separation. So the wages of sin is separation. Separation from God, and if it becomes eternal, it means eternal separation from God. It means that if you have sin in your life, what you've earned is hell. What you've earned is eternal damnation. What your sin deserves is eternal separation from God. And you know what? The Bible says it's eternal separation from everybody else too. Some people say, "Well, when I go to hell, I'll be with all my friends." No, you won't. They may be there, but you won't see them. Why do you need to become a Christian? Because the wages of sin is death. Let me also say, you need to become a Christian because you can't save yourself. I watched this show this past week. It's one of my favorite shows. It is called The Cowboys. Have you ever seen it? It's a John Wayne movie. And John Wayne needs some workers to go on a cattle drive, and he can't find any, so he decides he's going to hire these boys. And the one boy, he was the smallest of the group. He was the little runt, and he said, "Can anyone come?" And John Wayne said, "Well, come here for a second." The little boy walked up, and John Wayne wrote a line on the chalkboard just above his head. And he said, "Anyone who's taller than this line can come." John Wayne walked out the door. Well, then two of this little runt's buddies came up to the front, and It just happened to be that the chalkboard was on books. So they removed the books, they lowered the line, and now he was tall enough to go on the cattle drive. Isn't that what we try to do? Don't we try to lower the standard? Don't we say, well, we know God's standard is perfection, but you know what? He loves me. He'll forgive me. He's a good God. And maybe God doesn't really want perfection. Maybe he just wants me to do my best. If I do my best, you just got to have faith. And if you have faith, you make it right. You know why people don't go to heaven? It's because we're not good enough. Because we can't work our way up to God's standard. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves. And unfortunately, there's nothing we can do to save anybody else. How many parents wish their children were Christians? How many children wish their parents were Christians? There's nothing you can do to save anybody else. The only thing that could be done is for God to come down to this earth, walk among us, stretch out his hands, and die on the cross for us. The only one who could save us is Jesus. And that's what he did when he died on the cross. See, the reason we need to become a Christian is because we can't do it on our own. We need Christ. We need him to do that which we can't do. We need him to come down and to make us a Christian because we can't become one on our own. Why do we need to become a Christian? Because the only way we can get to heaven is through Jesus. The only way you're ever going to make it is through Jesus. Do you have a Buddhist friend? I want you to know they're not going to heaven. Do you have a Muslim friend? I want you to know they're not going to heaven. Do you have a Hindu friend? I want you to know they're not going to heaven. Do you have a friend who claims to be a Christian, but they have never trusted, they've never called on God to save them? I want you to know they are not going to heaven. Think about that. You know, I don't think we think about that enough. If we did, we'd be far more. We want far more to go out and tell people about Jesus. In Acts chapter 2, Peter was speaking. You don't need to turn there. Peter's speaking to the Jews. It's the day of Pentecost. Jesus has gone to heaven. Church is beginning. The Bible tells us that that Peter pleaded with the Jews to come to salvation. He pleaded with them. It's a word meaning that he begged them. He begged them that they would come to Jesus. What do? We try to tell our friends about Christ, they don't accept. We say, oh, yeah, we tried. Think about it. Without Jesus Christ, it means that that person will spend an eternity in hell. Do we care? Are we willing to go out of our way to try to tell others about Jesus Christ? Jesus said, I am the only way. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, there's only one name given under heaven whereby men might be saved. Jesus in John 14:6 said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you say that you can get to heaven by any other means than through Jesus, I want you to know you are calling God a liar. There are not many ways to heaven. There are not some ways to heaven. There is only one way to heaven. The gate is narrow. It is small. And that is why only a few find it. Let me throw out a third question. How do you become a Christian? You know, some people believe because they were born into a, quote, Christian home, they're a Christian. And I want you to know, walking into a garage does not make you a car. Neither does walking into a church or being born in a Christian family make you a Christian. I hate to say this because then people take what I say and they almost simplify it so much that it loses its real meaning. But becoming a Christian really is a simple thing. All the work was done by Jesus. If you are to become a Christian, the thing that you must do, and it is not something that you do to somehow earn salvation, it is something that you do to receive what God has already offered. It is simply, this is what you do to receive God's offer of salvation. You must admit where you are. Have you ever noticed us guys? What do we hate to do when we drive? We hate to ask for directions. And what do you women say to us? You say to us, are you lost? And what do we say? No. Well, where are you? I have no idea. But I'm not lost. I want you to know until you realize you're lost, you're never going to look for a Savior. You must admit that you're a sinner and you deserve judgment. And having heard the gospel message, you must believe it. You must believe the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus. You must believe with all your heart that what Jesus did is enough. You must believe with all your heart there's only one sole means in which you could have a relationship with God, and it is Jesus Christ. Don't ask people if they believe that Jesus is Savior. If you're trying to figure out if they're going to heaven, ask them, if you died today, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? And if they say yes, ask them, if I were standing at the gate of heaven and I were to ask you, why should I let you in, what would you say? Then you will find out what they're really trusting. But let me step back for a moment and also say this. Getting to heaven, becoming a Christian, is not merely answering the questions the right way. Some people walk back and they say, well, you know what? They answer the questions all the right way, but I look at their life and I don't think they're saved, and they probably aren't. They probably just heard the right answers and now all they're doing is mimicking them. You must believe with all your heart that Jesus is the only way. You must believe that if you want to get to heaven, you have to call upon Him to become your Savior. And that's the C, calling on Jesus to become your Savior. Let me ask you this morning, have you ever called on Jesus to be your Savior? And don't tell me you've done it 26 times. If it's real, you only have to do it once, if it's real. You must come to a point in your life where you say, yes, I know I'm lost. I believe that Jesus is the Savior. I believe I must turn to Him, and you must call upon Him. Jesus, I need salvation. God, save me. God, save me from my sin. I want you to know, nowhere in the Bible does it say you must ask Jesus to come into your heart. Don't tell people to ask Jesus to come into your heart. The Bible never tells us to do that. The Bible tells us by faith to believe what He did is the means of salvation, and when we do that, He does come into our heart. We don't have to ask Him to do that. Salvation is not asking Jesus into our heart. It is believing that Jesus is Savior and what He did is all that needs to be done to save me from my sin. Let me ask one final quick question. How do you know that someone is a Christian? I want you to know, I've seen people raise their hand at church service and say, yes, I want Jesus to save me, and I know they're not saved. I've seen people walk the aisle of a church or some, you know, group. I've seen people claim to be a Christian. I can look at them and say, no, they're not. And I'm not standing as judge and jury, and I'm not necessarily trying to judge them. I'm just telling you, I can look at them, they're not. Turn with me in your Bible to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2 and verse 3. we know that we have come to know him. That is, we know that we have become a Christian if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. This is how we know we are a Christian. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Now, I want you to notice it doesn't say whoever claims to live in him must have memorized 100 verses. Whoever claims to live in him must have a theological degree. It says whoever claims to be a Christian must walk, live, be like Jesus. How do you know someone's a Christian? All you got to do is look at their life and ask, do they walk like Jesus? That doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. Doesn't mean that you're not ever going to sin. But it does mean that you have a heart's desire to follow God. It does mean that you're not full of selfishness. It does mean that your heart is not full of pride. It does mean that you have a desire to do what God wants you to do. It does mean that you have a desire to worship God and follow God and serve God. It does mean that you want to do what God wants you to do. And if you don't, then the Bible says your claim is a lie. Let me ask you this morning, do you really know Jesus? Have you really come to God for salvation? If we were to put a mirror in front of your face, would we see Jesus? I would like to do what Peter did in Acts chapter 2. I would like this morning to plead with you to come to Jesus. I would like this morning for you to look at your life, forget everybody else that's around you. I would like for you to look at your life and plead with you. If you have never truly received Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to plead with you this morning to call upon him to save you from your sin. You know, if you're here this morning and you didn't even hear half of what I heard, then I'm talking to you. You know where your heart's at. You know if you're real or not. People can be baptized and still not be saved because they just went through the motion. People can be Sunday school teachers and deacons and even pastors in churches and still not know Jesus. And don't let that place keep you from really coming to Jesus for salvation. I do want to give you that opportunity. See, there's only two kind of people that don't become Christians. Those who don't know the truth, so they don't know how to become a Christian. They haven't heard it, they just don't know it. And the second is this, those who know the truth, but they reject it. They say, yeah, I know you're right, but that's not for me. Let's bow our heads. If you are not a Christian, I want to give you every opportunity right now to become a Christian. And just saying the words I give you don't necessarily save you or make you a Christian. It's what's going on in your heart. I would like to give you some words that would help. If you would like right now to become a Christian, pray this prayer. Dear God, I admit I'm a sinner and I deserve punishment.
but I believe Jesus died for me. And I believe what he did is enough to pay the price in full. And right now I ask you to become my Savior. Save me from my sin. I repent of it. I turn from it. And from this moment on, I'll begin to live for Jesus. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you prayed that prayer and it was real and you meant it with all your heart, and you know in your heart that right now you have become a Christian, this moment you've become a Christian, would you raise your hand so I can see? Would you raise your hand and say, yes, that was me? Okay. I see your hands. Yes, put them down. Anyone else? You say, I prayed that prayer and it was real. I want Jesus to be my Savior. Yes, anyone else? A count of five hands. If that was real in your heart, I want you to know your eternal destiny has just changed. Instead of hell, you're on your way to heaven. And nothing can change that. And in a minute, we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper. And I want to invite you as a new Christian to join with me in celebrating Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection for our sin. The juice represents the shedding of Christ's blood. The bread represents the fact that he gave his body. It was broken for us. Father, we thank you for these who have raised their hands, and I pray, Lord, that it's real. And I pray, Father, that from this moment on, because you've come into their lives, their hearts and their lives have changed. Father, help us as a church to help them to grow. For we pray in Jesus' name.